It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And of course, today we conclude our conversation on our identity with a focus on individual identity within the whole body of Christ. And we've got a pastor on the line. Fundis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Tapelo. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
We are doing well. Thank you that I've learned from you that today is World, is it Press Freedom Day?
Yes, today is World Press Freedom Day, Fundis.
That is great. We wish you all the best.
Yeah, indeed. I was like saying that the fact that, you know, we've got some of our colleagues who are not free to do their job and some losing their lives is something that we really need to shine the spotlight on.
No, for sure. We condemn those acts of violence against journalists, because journalists have got an important information to probe, to inquire, to inform us, to correct and to collect, and to act as a people's watchdogs in the places of public interest. So their work should be done unhindered.
Indeed, indeed. I hope that the government of Sudan is listening there. Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate that. I've been following this discussion, by the way, just on the background, you know, as I listen to the show. But we've discussed the identity of the church. And we know that the church is an organization that is made up of many, many people. But how does each person then, Fundisi, within the many, many people that are there, discover their own unique identity in Christ? And I think this is perhaps very, very important also for older people, but I find that also for young people becomes a very relevant question.
Thank you very much. In the first place, the church is said to be a body, the body of Christ, and the body has got many parts.
Yes.
And each part has got a unique function.
Yeah.
So even as we have got the keys to ministry, you have got a ministry.
Yes.
As you are even working there, that is your ministry.
Yes.
So the Bible has given keys to ministry, which we call spiritual gifts.
There are
gifts that are just unique to you, the gifts that are unique to me. And these are the keys that we use for us to function well. When you and I come, the question is that what are you bringing on the table in terms of spiritual gifts?
Yeah.
What am I bringing on the table? And even these spiritual gifts, as we bring them, they are not for glorifying an individual, Tapero, or glorifying Munga. No, but to glorify God. Just like it is in the body, the hand has a way to do.
Yeah.
The leg has what a part to do. The eye has what, but they work together.
Yes, yes.
So these spiritual gifts, they are keys to ministry that when all of us have come together in one place, the question is not where do you come from, but the question is what are you bringing on the table in terms of spiritual gifts?
That's really important there. And Pastor, just as a side question there, I find that in my own observation, right, having been in the church for some time, since 1998, for example, you find that we tend to espouse certain gifts, you know, as you spoke about that, the hand, we see the hand as more important than the eye, and we tend to see the eye as more important than the back, you know. What causes that, Pastor, and why do you often run into that risk? Because people who are singing and people who are preachers who are often at the podium are those that we really like, but people who are praying in prayer band, who play a very important role as well, seem to just be in the periphery.
No, that is true, because that's the impression that we have. Just look at even in the secular life, the pattern is the same. If there's a football match there, who will be called the footballer of the match?
Yes.
He's the top scorer.
Yes.
But was that person working alone? No. The defender is ignored, the midfield, the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But the one who scores there is the one who is counted. Just like when a pastor stands in front, it's like a pastor does more job than another.
Yeah.
Which is not true. I like the way like Ellen White puts in. She says, a woman raising a child, raising a baby, is doing the same work before God like the work that is being done by a pastor. So a pastor and a mother who is raising a child are doing the same work before God.
Sure.
So the usher is important.
It's very
the
important.
The deacon is important. And there's no one who is more important than the other. All of them are important before God.
Yeah.
Whatever I am doing.
Yeah.
The platform that I'm given to speak,
there's
someone who is facilitating to that. Like we are speaking now.
Yes.
There are people behind the machines.
Yes, true.
Who are making it possible for us to have this conversation.
True.
So those people in the background are also important, just like the two of us whose voices are heard.
That's very
but
true.
when that is ignored, you find the people who are always in the limelight, maybe the preachers, the elders, the singers.
Yes.
When in actual fact, all of us are doing a work that is important at the same level.
I love that, Pastor. I love that because I think we often forget about the importance of that. But you know, when you look at the issue of, I suppose, self-centeredness that the world always tries to purport to us, especially when you're looking at the issue of self-discovery, which is very, very important, and identity. The world tends to make it about me, discovering myself, discovering who I am. As Christians, how do we then discover our identity while, I suppose, avoiding this very, very, you know, seemingly proliferated trap of everything being about you? I'm discovering myself. You can't tell me this is who I am and all those sort of stuff.
Actually, you don't even discover yourself.
Oh, okay.
God reveals things to you. Like we have said, when we talk about spiritual gifts,
yes,
a gift you are given. You don't ask for it. You don't apply.
Exactly.
You don't pay for it. You are given.
Yeah.
So, what is important for you and I to know these spiritual gifts? Some years back, before I became a pastor, actually, I was a student studying mechanics somewhere. So I went to for my holiday. I was with my brother.
Yes.
I was given the summer school class to teach. Then after that, I was given to preach in main service.
Yeah.
After the service,
yeah,
a friend called me.
Oh.
And he said, "Pasmo, you are good at teaching.
Yeah.
You are not good at preaching."
Oh, okay.
Yes, right in my face.
Sure.
You are good at teaching.
Sure.
And you are not good at preaching.
Yeah.
So from that time, that was 1996. From that time, I picked it up there that I am a teacher and I enjoy teaching. So even when I'm preaching, I warn the audience that my style of preaching is teaching.
Yeah.
I even ask questions and I don't squirt, but I'm serious. Yes, I warned the congregation that please, you don't see me squatting.
Yes.
So, at the end of the sermon, I even summarized, what we have covered is this. The intention of this is this. Where we want to move from this area to this area.
Yeah.
So we do not disturb ourselves, but God reveals gifts that he has given us.
Ooh,
we don't hunt for them.
Ah,
the question that should be asked is that, how do I know my spiritual gifts and use them?
Age.
And these gifts are used to glorify God, not to glorify the individual. That's the beauty part of it.
I know that's a very broad topic, Pastor, and some theology behind that. But if you were to summarize it, how do I find that? Because I think that's a question that I suffered with while I was still young in the church, just to understand, how do I even get and understand my spiritual gift? Where am I? And you find that you try this, you try that, you try that, you try, and you stumble upon it, I suppose. I don't know if that's the way it should happen in any case. Or how do I, because you speak to young people and you say, no, you need to pray to God and God will reveal it to you. I mean, 13, 14 years are like, but honestly though, I hear that praying part, but how do I go about it?
Thank you. The easiest way, putting all those definitions, questionnaires aside, the easiest way to know what your spiritual gifts are is to ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing in life?
Okay.
What do you do without sweating?
Yes.
There are certain times when I have been called, maybe 3 minutes before the interview.
Yeah.
No. But Pastor, someone who was supposed to come here is not there.
Yeah.
3 minutes time, we'll be calling you. We are talking about the theology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I settle there. I love it.
Yeah.
If we have to talk for 7 hours or
yes.
so. So something that you love to do, something you do without sweating, that is a spiritual gift. The other thing also, you can know your spiritual gifts, like it happened to me, a friend. You can ask your friend, Tapelo, friend who is honest with you, what do you see? Because at times there could be a gift that you are not aware.
Yes.
But when you stand in front, or as you are doing your broadcasting work, someone said, no. Young man, you have got this gift also that I see in you.
Yes.
It may seem to be hidden, but it is there. So a friend can help you to know what your spiritual gifts are by asking them, what do you think I am good at?
Ah. so it needs to
be. And you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A true friend at that.
A true friend. Because the spiritual gifts are many.
Yeah.
The spiritual gift for hospitality, that is one.
Yeah.
Teaching, pastoral work, office, teaching, service, all those. So you find there's one area that you love.
Yeah.
You do it with all the pleasure and the satisfaction.
Yeah.
That is your spiritual gift.
Ah, love that, love that, love that. Okay, that's an interesting one. And I hope that young people are, you know, will take that and kind of then implement it because, wow, this thing of just stumbling upon these things is actually, I suppose, futile on its own and all that. But self-discovery then, Pastor, how does that serve me in finding my own place in the church? The church is such a big organization and with a huge number of people in there, and everyone is important. Like you said, we all play very different roles in the church, like the body is. But how does this understanding, talking to people and asking them, what am I good at, and all, how does that then help me to find my place? Once I know that maybe I'm a talker, apparently I talk too much, and people have said, yeah, you talk too much.
Yes.
How do I then take that and say, how do I find my place in the church?
Thank you. I'll give an example so that we don't theorize things.
Yes.
After completing college, my first training is in mechanics before I went into theology and business.
Yeah.
So after completing, I settled in this town, this city, and then I started going to this church. And then when I went to this church, one of the spiritual gifts that I like, for sure, like I said, is teaching, meeting people in their homes. So I started meeting people and then asking for their house numbers. And then I started visiting these people. And teaching them in their homes. I share a verse. Remember, I'll pick Psalm 23. I go from this home, I share it. I go to this home, I share it. I did not wait for anyone to introduce me to anyone.
Ah, okay.
I was a new person there, because the normal thing is to sit in a corner somewhere there, waiting for someone to greet you, and they don't greet you.
Yeah.
So the first day I went to this church in the afternoon, people were in groups. I decided to make my own group. I called two ladies. I called a young man, say, friends, what are your names? I'm a visitor there. I'm asking the people I found there. What is your, my name is this. My, what are you doing? I've completed school. I'm doing this. So I started making friends. And started visiting friends. What am I doing? I'm using my spiritual gift at a new place.
Yes.
And I avail myself to the church ready for service. I was even given a Sabbath school teacher before my membership.
Look at that.
Until later on, I was told that, no, the membership is not yet. Let us process it.
Hey.
So you bring yourself on the table.
Sure.
I can do this. When I went for my Bachelor of Business Administration in Uganda, at our Adventist University of Bukema, I went there. I went with my toolbox, because I'm a mechanic. In my car, I moved with toolbox and with a work suit. So when I arrived there, I talked to the chaplain. I'm a mechanic by profession, and I came with my tools.
Yeah.
He just put me, here is a car here, bring your toolbox here. There's this thing that needs to be worked on here. Then I was attached to the college belonging to the university to teach the students. So bring what you have on the table.
Sure.
Whether it's a new place,
in
a new community, bring what you have on the table.
Yeah.
And then it is used to glorify God.
Oh, I love that. Love. Don't wait, but rather offer yourself and bring it to the church and say, this is what I can do.
Exactly.
Sure. Love that. Now, as we round it off and conclude on this one, Fundiswam, there are people who claim we are a cult. And I always find this quite interesting, you know, just to get their thoughts, because of course I don't believe we are. But it's always interesting when you hear their thoughts and their thought process on why and what is it that makes them to come to that conclusion. How do we even respond to such people who claim that we are a cult as a church?
First and foremost, you don't respond. You just continue being who you are.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't respond.
Yeah.
You don't respond.
Yeah, okay.
Because at times when you respond, it's like you are guilty, you are trying to clear the air when there's no air to clear around. So you continue being who you are.
Yeah.
One, we are a special people.
Ah.
A prophetic movement.
Yes.
That was prophesied in the Bible to come at this time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, much as we are special,
yeah.
much as we are unique,
yeah.
we are not better than others.
Ah,
that one must be underlined.
Yes.
We are not better than others.
Yes.
But God has chosen us the way he called Abraham.
Yes.
But he called Abraham so that he can use him in a special way. And
yes.
through him,
yeah.
he can bless everyone.
Mm.
The SDA Church is a blessing to the entire world.
Yes.
In terms of the health message.
Yeah.
Our health message reduces disease.
Yeah.
When you reduce disease in a country, the economy, the money that's supposed to be spent on health,
yeah.
is taken somewhere else.
Yes, yes.
Our education system is one of the best.
Mm.
You go to an Adventist institution, so people who come out of these institutions, you look at our schools, most of them are flooded by people who are not even our members.
Yes, yes, that's true.
So if it is a cult, why should they take their children
yeah.
to schools that
yeah.
belong to a cult?
That's true.
So you go to our publishing houses, look at what come out of the presses,
yes.
the books that are there,
yes.
in terms of marriage, in terms of relationships, health, they are there.
Yes.
So we add a value to society. We
ah.
don't remove value to society, but we add value to society.
Ah, there's no way to better end that conversation to say we add value to society. Thank you so much for adding value from this the whole week. Really appreciate your time. And as you prepare for the Sabbath as well, may God bless you and your ministry as well.
You're most welcome. You can allow me just to give a testimony.
There yes, yes, time. Sir. Yes, sir.
I worked as a literature evangelist. So one time I made an appointment to see one of the government ministers.
Yeah.
So all of us wanted to meet him. We were called in one hall.
Okay.
And all of us were to talk to him in the hearing of everyone.
Yes.
So I went with my books. So people were there. I was almost the last one. People were there were asking for money, asking for jobs, asking for this.
Mm.
But I took books and he bought the books. So everyone wanted to went there to ask for help. I took help to the minister.
Huh.
That is a marked difference.
Yo. And I'm sure the minister still today remembers that.
Exactly. So where you are, Brother Tapero, we give the world help.
Yeah.
That it needs.
Ah.
Thank you very much.
We add value. Thank you so much, Fundis. God bless you.
Yes, I'm to you and our listeners.
Thank you so much.
It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID.